in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Father, can you turn that into a prayer? Can you turn that into a prayer? Kalibuku Shalabakata. Father, help me to encounter your person in today's service. Help me to encounter your power, the power to get wealth. Help me to encounter the principles of kingdom financial prosperity. Help me to understand and engage the principles of kingdom wealth and prosperity with understanding. Oh yes, impart financial wisdom to me. Oh yes, are you praying? Father, I receive a divine download of financial wisdom. The wisdom to prosper financially. The wisdom for financial success. The wisdom to secure a glorious financial future. Let that wisdom be downloaded to me in this service. Let that wisdom be downloaded. Go ahead and talk to the Lord. Rajabu Sevila Paratus. Rakatatatatai. In the name of Jesus. Listen. Give me Proverbs 4:7. The Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And it says, with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing, and the word of God is God's wisdom bank. The word of God is the wisdom of God in print. The word of God is God's wisdom bank. The word of God is the wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom. That's one of the seven spirits of God. In fact, the very first of the seven spirits of God to be revealed in scripture as the spirit of creativity. Because God created the world by his wisdom. Now you are going to say, Father, in this service, I receive. Let there be the reign of the spirit of wisdom, the reign of the word of wisdom. I receive the instructions of wisdom for financial prosperity, for financial greatness. Can you lift up your voice? Malatesi toko potese peletina amprakatai. As your word come, let financial wisdom come. Manda palatosa. Father, grant me understanding in this area of finances. Help me to develop financial intelligence. Kalebo kose brinde ke paladia. Radebonde se frete ke teketia. In Jesus' name. Proverbs 24 verse 3. Proverbs 24 verse 3 is a true wisdom is a house builded. Now that house can represent any area of your life. Am I communicating? It can be your finances, it can be ministry, it can be your career, it can be your job, it can be your business, it can be your health, It can be your family, your marriage. He said it is through wisdom that you build well. Now, he said by understanding it is established. And then he says, verse 4, he said, by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with precious and pleasant riches. Praise God. There is a particular body of knowledge that you must understand and engage concerning financial education, financial principles, for you to secure your financial destiny. You are going to say, Father, grant me revelation knowledge concerning my finances in this series beginning from today. Grant me the financial wisdom to build a financially great future and destiny. Grant me the requisite financial understanding for me to be established in my finances. Let wisdom and knowledge stabilize my financial destiny. The Bible says wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. It says the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Lift up your voice. He said true wisdom is your financial destiny. Your financial destiny builded. Malabakosatai. True wisdom is your finances built. By understanding, your financial destiny is established. And through the relevant and required financial education, knowledge, all the chambers of your life, all the chambers will be filled with precious and pleasant riches. Elebosa palakiza barakata. Mande buku sataya. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we acknowledge your presence in our midst. Thank you, Father, for this is the day you have made for us to rejoice and be glad. Father, we ask for your wisdom, knowledge, enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Help us to renew our mind. Let your word come with revelation. Let it come with power. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands, O you people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. You might be seated in high places, in heavenly places. Praise God. Welcome your neighbor to your right and to your left. Say welcome to Kingdom Finance series. Hallelujah. The month of May is our money month. Hallelujah. Yes, I have received the marching order for this particular series. You need to understand that we don't just preach what we feel like preaching or what we think it is good to preach or what we just conjure. No. In this ministry, we operate as we are led by the Spirit. Am I communicating? Yes. Almost every month, the teaching series is well received from heaven. Am I communicating? We just finished for that of last month, April, High Calling. How many of you were blessed by High Calling? I'll counsel you to listen. Join our Telegram channel. You access our messages, more than 200 messages for free. Spirit-filled messages, faith-building messages, Christ-centered messages, kingdom-minded messages that will transform your lives and push your life forward. It will bless you. Listen to it again. Now, for the month of May, we'll be exploring the subject of kingdom finance. Very important and very critical subject. Hallelujah. We're looking at money matters. However, we'll look at it from a kingdom perspective. That's why we call it kingdom finance. Did you notice? Not just finance. Is this what? Kingdom finance. Which one comes first? Kingdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we'll be looking, it's going to be an explosive expose on the subject of finance from a kingdom perspective, and I'm telling you, you will seriously be blessed. I say you will seriously be blessed. And your finances will move to a higher level. You will fulfill your financial destiny. You will not end up a financial failure. Listen, God has a definite plan for your finances as a believer. As a child of God, God wants you to do well in your finances. He has a definite agenda. He has a definite plan for your finances. He has not left us without a concrete, a clear and concrete plan and purpose concerning the subject of our finance. Am I communicating? And we'll be looking at that in the course of this teaching series. It's part of the curriculum. Okay? It's part of the curriculum. What is the aim and objective of Kingdom Finance? If you are writing, write. The aim of this teaching series, Kingdom Finance, is to... Are you writing? Is to educate, enlighten, equip, and empower you. The aim is to educate, enlighten, equip, and empower you with the relevant truths and tips on kingdom finance, so as to make you know and understand, kingdom financial principles. Kingdom financial principles, just put dash in front, and a big dash. How to make money, how to multiply money, how to master money, how to manage money, and how to secure the money in the kingdom way that glorifies and honors God. Hallelujah. That is our aim. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So, you learn how to make money the kingdom way. How to create wealth the kingdom way in the course of this series. You will learn how to manage, how to multiply money. Multiplication of your money the kingdom way. Kingdom principles. Am I communicating? You will learn how to what? Master money for your master's use. I like this one. We'll be mastering money for our master's use. Who is your master? Can you shout his name very loud? And then you will learn how to have I mentioned manage money? Okay, master money. And the last one is what? Secure the money. You know, people talk about the three M's of money. That's make, multiply, and manage money. But I like to add a fourth one. Which is securing your money, protecting your money. Because it doesn't make sense after you've made the money, you've multiplied, you've managed it, and then you lose everything. When if it is not secure, am I communicating? You need to learn how to ensure the money that you have made. Glory to God. I say glory to God. The protection, security, insurance is very, very important. Okay? There are people that have made money but they lost everything and they went back to square one. That will not be your portion. You know, the Lord gave us a word, a prophetic word for this year. The Lord told us this is our year of what? Supernatural harvest. supernatural harvest. And that's the word we've been running with since January. And we said there are dimensions of this supernatural harvest. Please help me. What was the first dimension we mentioned? Harvest of what? Supernatural harvest of souls into the kingdom. Okay? Supernatural harvest of souls into the kingdom. That was the first dimension that we looked at. Then we talked about the harvest of transform. That's after those souls are won, people have to be disciples. People have to be discipled. And then through the teaching of God's word, they are what? Transformed. Okay? So we talk about harvest of transformed lives and destinies, right? Then we talk about another dimension of harvest called harvest of what? Talk to me. Miracles, signs, and wonders. That's harvest of supernatural manifestation. Miracles, signs, wonders. And we have seen them already. Then we looked at another dimension of harvest. We said harvest of supernatural favors. And favors are what? Finance. Glory to God. So today we are focusing on supernatural harvest of finance. Hence the need for this series called Kingdom Finance. I believe beyond every iota of doubt that this is your set time to reap a supernatural harvest of financial blessings. I'm telling you, this is your appointed season to reap supernatural harvest of finances, whether as an individual or as a family. And that is why God said I should teach this series. You need to understand that anything God is saying is what God is doing. Before God does anything, he will reveal what he's about to do, and he expects you to say it, to proclaim it. Am I communicating? Amos 3:7, he says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets to his servants the prophets. You see, God has revealed to me that I should teach on kingdom finance because he's about to embarrass you with financial blessings. God is about to shower financial blessings on us in this season, as individual and as the body of Christ. Am I communicating? Because whatever is not preached, God cannot confirm. The Bible says God confirms the word of his servant. They went and preached everywhere. God was walking with them, confirming the word. As they were preaching what they were instructed by God to preach, God was walking with them and confirming the word with signs and wonders. And I decree as a servant of God that as I preach on kingdom finance, as I have been commanded, I'm telling you that God is going to visit and turn around every financial captivity. I say God will turn around your financial captivity. God will lavishly pour upon you his financial blessings. You will prosper in your finances like never before. Financial doors are opening for you. You will walk in financial dominion in Jesus' name. Now, let's do a little divination of terms. What's the meaning of kingdom finance? This is a school. This is a school of money. Okay? We are in a school of money. Hallelujah. I say we are in a school. So take your lecture seriously. Always come with your writing material. Pay rapt attention. Hallelujah. So what is kingdom finance? Okay, the word kingdom finance, of course, is from two words. Number one is kingdom. What do we mean by kingdom? Kingdom means the sphere of influence. The sphere of influence of a king, literally. It means the sphere or area of influence of a king. It refers to that area or territory that is under the jurisdiction of a king. And we know God our Father is the King of Kings. Am I communicating? So when you say the kingdom of God, you are referring to the area or territory where the influence of his presence, the influence of God's presence is felt. Am I communicating? The kingdom of God refers to the area or territory that is under the rulership, under the government, the governmental influence of God himself. Glory to God. I say glory to God. The kingdom of God is very real. Very real. It's called the kingdom of light. There is another kingdom in opposition to the kingdom of God. It's called the kingdom of darkness. Am I communicating? And the interesting thing about both the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness is that both of them are invisible to these optical eyes. Both of them are unseen. And yet both of them are operating in the earth realm. Am I communicating? If you are born again, you are in the kingdom. New birth, it is true, if the Bible says, who has delivered us? Colossians 1:13. It says God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. Before we got born again, we were in another kingdom called the kingdom of darkness. Okay? We're under the influence, the domain of Satan. Okay? Because the kingdom of darkness is headed by Satan. Satan is a king ruling there. But the day you got born again, through that new birth, God delivered us from the power or authority of the kingdom of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So where are we now? We are in the kingdom. We are citizens of the kingdom. Philippians 3:20. He says, for our conversation, give me an amplified, our citizenship is in heaven. Glory to God. So if you are born again, you are a citizen of God's kingdom, a bona fide one, a bona fide one. You belong to God's kingdom. You no longer belong to the kingdom of what? Darkness. We are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven. Your homeland is where? Heaven. You are on earth on a mission, a God ordained mission. Am I communicating? We are here to fulfill God's plan, God's purpose, to accomplish God's mission for the world. So we are here on assignment, but our homeland is in heaven. As if from also we earnestly look towards, you know, that was why Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Except he be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter. So when you get born again, you see the kingdom, you enter the kingdom. Can you shout amen? The way our kingdom functionaries, kingdom citizens here, right now, hallelujah. And then the word finance, right? What is finance? Simply put, finance is a study of the art and science. Finance is the study of the art and science. It's a study of the art and science of making money, comma, managing money, comma, multiplying money, comma, and securing the money. It's as simple as that. So finance has to do with making money, wealth creation. It has to do with money management. It has to do with multiplying money through savings, investment, all of that. And then you secure or ensure, protect the money. Praise God. What is finance? The second definition I'll give you is that finance is a study of the system, of generation and management. Is the system of what? system of generation and management of financial and material resources. Of what? Financial and material resources. So simply put, the system of funds, you study the process of generating funds, managing the funds, and the funding process. Praise God. Now there are three, broadly there are three kinds of finance. There are three kinds of finance. There are three kinds of finance. Number one is personal finance. Personal finance. Personal finance. Praise God. I say praise God. Just like your personal money. Personal finance. Number two is, so personal finance, what does that one mean? Individual finance, okay? It deals with individual income, individual money. Then number two is corporate finance. Right, number two is corporate finance. Of course, when you hear corporate, it means more than one person, right? Corporate finance. Okay, this refers to the finance owned and controlled by more than one person. So corporate finance, under that you can have business finance. For instance, business finance is a corporate finance, right? Business finance is not owned by one person, especially when the business, they are stakeholders, they are investors, you have business partners, people that pull the resources together to start, manage and control the business. Am I communicating? So even the profit, you see how they share, they have sharing formulas, the dividends, the return. So there's corporate, there's business finance under corporate finance. There is family finance. And by the way, money matters is a major factor that affects marriages and families. In fact, that is the number one problem in many families and marriages. Money issue. Am I communicating? So it's a very important subject, right? It's very, very crucial. Very, very crucial. A lot of marital failures, a lot of broken marriages, families, divorce cases is due to money problems. Is due to what? Money problems. The reason why the joy and happiness in many marriages is no longer there is because of money issues. You know, the moment sometimes when funds are not there, the fun in the marriage is gone for some people. No, it's as if no funds, no fun. Everybody's face will just be looking sad, morose, as if somebody died, as if it's a funeral service in the home. But the moment there is fun, even the romance will be affected when there is no finance. Praise God. I said praise God. Somebody once said, there is no romance without finance. Well, I'm still analyzing the statement. I'll let you know my take on it. It is both yes and no. But here is my own. Finance plays an important role in romance. I would rather put it that way. Praise God. I say praise God. A lot of married people know here that by the time there is money, everybody is excited at home. You know, the wife can call the husband, please, when coming, can you buy me suya? Just or ice cream or shawarma, just brunch, you know. Then the husband brings it. The wife is happy. But if there's no money, even the way they will serve your food self. Except God has helped the wife. Praise God. So there is family finance, there is government finance or public finance. Unfortunately, a lot of our politicians are stealing this one, looting it. It's unfortunate that in Africa generally, the shortest cut to wealth is politics. It is not supposed to be so. It's a big error. Am I communicating? In a lot of these developed nations, most of the politicians there, they are there because they want to serve genuinely. They have a heart of service to humanity. They have, am I communicating? Something to offer in service. They are not there for what they want to grab or get. They are not there to steal money. Am I communicating? So that's why one of these American president, I've forgotten his name, he said you can never be truly rich and wealthy through politics except you are a crook. I've forgotten the American president that made that statement. Except you are a crook. And it's true. How much is the salary of a politician in the Western world? Eh? Hope you know that it's in Africa, especially Nigeria, that the lawmakers, the politicians are like the highest paid, which is not supposed to be so. Okay, keep their salary aside. Many of them are thieves. I'm not saying all. And that is why they do everything to win election and go there. You understand? Because it's like the shortest cut to wealth in Africa. It's a pity. So you see, the culture of entrepreneurship, enterprise development is not being encouraged. You know, somebody say, why will I suffer and build any business and all of that when I can just join politics, become this one, and then steal millions and billions of naira in no time? You see, it's a big error. We need to correct that. I say we need to correct that. Public fund, government fund, is supposed to be used to fund the needs of the people that elected you into power. It's supposed to sort out national issues. Am I communicating? It's supposed to be channeled rightly for the intended purposes, to better the lives of the masses, to better the infrastructural development and all of that, and then of course meet the needs of the people. Public or government money does not belong to those in government. If they touch it, they are thieves. That's called stealing. And you cannot prosper God's way by stealing. You cannot prosper God's way by stealing. Am I communicating? Touching money that is not your own is stealing. For instance, if you are governor of Plateau State, there is an allocation. There is public fund, government fund that is meant for Plateau State. Eh? It's not your money, even if you are the governor. Don't steal it. If you are president of Nigeria, the money there is not for you. Am I communicating? That's why you are paid your salary. Collect your salary, even though the salary is even inflated. Collect and leave what? Public funds alone. Your job is to provide good leadership management system to ensure that the money is used for the right purposes, to better the citizenry. Am I communicating? And improve and develop the country. Glory to God. I've told you, in AGMI, we will raise politicians that are different. Some of you, self, just SUG politics, department politics, you are already stealing money. The money they gathered for bus. Eh? They say they want to buy bus. You slash it with cutlass and collected half. Look at you. And then you have the audacity to say our politicians are corrupt. See, the corrupt politicians, did they drop from another planet? Is it not Nigerians? That's to tell you, something is wrong with our value system. And that's why they start small, small. Eh? From school, oh, that's why they start. And then tomorrow you say you want to come out as governor. I will not vote you. because I know you are a crook. I can't trust you. If you were stealing money for school bus, is it now that when you become governor, what will you do? So, okay, what's the first kind of finance? Personal finance. Second, corporate. Number three, kingdom finance. And this is the one we are interested in. Kingdom what? Finance. Okay? Kingdom finance. That is how to make clean money. Kingdom way. Somebody say clean money. Not stolen money. Not yahoo yahoo money. Am I communicating? Not the one you engage in internet fraud and then you steal. No. I'm talking of clean money in a kingdom way. Yes, you can be rich as a child of God. And you can do that without stealing and without getting involved in shady deals. You can become rich through righteous means by applying kingdom financial principles, of which we'll be learning in this series. Am I communicating? And we have to teach God's people. Don't worry, I'll soon go deeper now. We have to teach God's people. Praise God. How to make money the kingdom way. How to be rich and wealthy the kingdom way. Praise God. I say praise God. Without cutting corners, without gimmicks, without playing pranks, without being dishonest. Praise God. Okay. Before we move on, let's look at some common myths. M-Y-T-H-S, myths. Some common myths. M-Y-T-H-S. Myths and misconceptions. Some common myths and what? Misconceptions about money in Christianity. Okay? We'll debunk. Where's my marker? We'll debunk these myths. There are some common myths. In fact, some of these myths and misconceptions have some so-called scriptural backings. There are even some scriptures people misquote, misinterpret to support those wrong beliefs. Because it matters your mindset and belief system when it comes to the subject of money. Praise God. It matters a great deal. We'll debunk them. We'll analyze them, look at them, and then we'll debunk them based on the word of God from a kingdom perspective. And we'll analyze those scriptures that they usually quote erroneously to back up their claims. Because I'm telling you, for you to be rich the kingdom way and wealthy, you must have the right understanding, the right mindset, the right belief system, the right conviction about money. Am I communicating? Okay. The first myth and misconception about money in Christianity is that money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. Give me 1 Timothy 6:10. I'm not saying that what I just said is right. I said it's a what? Misconception. It's a myth. So you see people quote 1 Timothy 6:10 to buttress their point, that they will even say, this money is evil. Even the Bible says money is what? The root of all evil. Let's see what the Bible said. Is that what the Bible said? Let's find out. What does the Bible said? Let's read. 1, 2, 3, go. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with so many sorrows. See, never quote the Bible
incorrectly. Don't misunderstand the scripture. Don't read your mind into Bible. Don't read the Bible with your faulty mindset and belief system that you have been wrongly indoctrinated to believe. Are you getting me? The first misconception in the Christendom, you hear even Christians, a lot of Christians say, they will say the Bible says money is what? The root of all evil. But the Bible never said so. What the Bible said is what? The love of what? Money. Not money itself. The love of what? Money. So what is the love of money? The word love in the Greek is a Greek word eros. In the Greek, there are different words for love. There is agape love. There is eros love. There is storge love. There is philia love. Now, the word used here is not agape. It is not philia. It's not even storge. It is what? Eros. E-R-O-S. Eros love. Give me this in amplified. And what is the love of money? It's talking of that inordinate desire for money. The lust after money. Lusting after money. That passionate longing for money by hook or by crook. You don't care who you even kill in the process. Some people have killed their mother to make money, ritual money. Are you getting me? It's a manifestation of the love of money. He said that is the root of all evil, not money itself. Are you getting me? So that's the first myth we are debunking. He said for the love of money. Okay, give me the translation that brings it out. NLT. Let me see NLT. New Living Translation. Craving. Praise God. So it is the love of money, not money itself, that is the root of all evil. Praise God. That inordinate desire for money, even at the expense of their lives, is purely lust. The person is lusting after money. Praise God. I say praise God. So listen to this. It is the love of money, not money itself, that is the root of all evil. Money in itself is neutral. Money is what? Neutral. It is not evil. It is neutral. Money is neutral on its own. It is neutral and amoral. Money is neutral and amoral. However, listen to this. Money takes on the character of its possessor. In fact, money is an amplifier of character. Money on its own is neutral. It takes on the character of its possessor. If a good man is in possession of money, the money is good in his hand. He will use it to do good things, right? If an evil and wicked person is in possession of money, the wicked and evil person will use it to carry out evil activities. For instance, kidnapping. For instance, ritual killing. For instance, listen, most of all these terrorist groups, Boko Haram, all of that, name them, that is disturbing the peace of this nation. Are you aware they are being sponsored by money? They have sponsors. Are you aware this Fulani herdsmen is not an intractable problem? This Boko Haram issue, they have sponsors. There are people that are pumping millions and billions to sponsor them. And that is why the thing is being sustained. Are you getting me? Imagine a wicked man hire and pay an assassin. You know this hired assassin? To eliminate another person. Did you notice that he paid with money? So money in the hand of that wicked person that is paying somebody else to assassinate someone, that money has taken on the character of its possessor, which is what? Wickedness. Are you getting me? So there is nothing, listen to this very well. There is nothing that reveals people's true character like money and power. And money gives economic power. If you want to know the highest way, the best way to know people's true character, just give them money and give them power and see how they use it and see how they treat human beings in possession of those things. Are you listening? Money is a revealer of the color of the heart of the possessor. Money is a revealer of the color of the heart of its possessor. Money is an amplifier of character. If you are a bad person and then you have plenty money, the money will amplify your badness. If you are a wicked person and you are in possession of plenty money, your wickedness will be amplified with the money you have. If you are a good person and you are a giver and you are in possession of plenty money, the money will amplify your goodness and you can give and help so many other persons. Are you getting this? So say this with me. Money is an amplifier of character. Money is a revealer of people's true character. Yes. Money reveals the true color of people's heart, the intent, the motive of people's heart. Are you getting me? There are some poor people that are say, Kai, when they see rich people, make a hammer one day, I go oppress them. I go show them. I go use my money oppress. You see, that's the intent of the person's heart. And when the money finally come, and then the person now has the financial might, just watch, the person will oppress. Are you seeing that? So money is neither good nor bad. It is neutral. It's immoral. But it takes on the character of its possessor. Am I communicating? There are some of you have it in your heart to do good. You understand? If you have a good heart like that and you don't allow anything corrupt it, and you are follow the kingdom way, I'm telling you, you'll be very rich. Because God will empower you with the means. Because God have already seen your heart. He has seen your purity of motive, that if I help this person, if I give this person millions and billions, the person will use it for the right purpose. It will build my kingdom. It will finance my kingdom purpose. It will help humanity. It will clothe the naked, feed the hungry. Are you getting me? House the homeless. It will touch the orphans and the widows. Already God can see it in your heart, and then he will put it in your hand. Are you listening? But by the time you are thinking of I, me, and myself, then God knows this person is greedy and selfish. So the amount of money he can commit to you is very limited. Learn to think beyond yourself. God told Abraham, I will bless you, and you shall be a what? A global blessing. So you determine the extent to which God will bless you by your commitment to being a blessing to others. Am I communicating? To the degree that you are a blessing to the kingdom and to the world of humanity is the degree to which God will bless you and commit kingdom resources into your hand. Because kingdom wealth is an entrustment. It's an entrustment. You must pass the trust test. You must pass what? The trust test. Until you passed that test of trust, God cannot trust you. neither can he entrust real kingdom wealth and resources into your hands. Do you obey his instructions? That's in the area of finance. You know, there are people that they only obey God in all other areas minus their money. So Jesus is not Lord over their money. They are the ones that are Lord over their money. Holy Ghost boy is no near there. They have even won the Holy Ghost. Look at you. Praise God. So number two misconception. Okay, we are debunking them, right? The second misconception about money in Christianity is that you cannot be rich and righteous nor make heaven at the same time. You know, there are believers that have believed these lies, this lie from the pit of hell, that you cannot be rich and righteous. You cannot be rich and make heaven. They believe that any Christian that becomes rich is headed for hellfire. They believe that poverty is the express ticket to heaven. Why prosperity? Financial prosperity, wealth is the ticket to hellfire. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Listen, poverty is not a ticket to heaven. Did you hear what I said? Poverty is not the proof. It's not a proof of piety. It's not a proof of spirituality. There is no scripture that say the poorer you are, the more spiritual you become. Are you listening? Give me Proverbs 8 verse 12. Rather, what the Bible teaches is that you can be rich and be righteous. Are you listening? The Bible teaches that you can be rich and be righteous. I'll show you some scriptures to prove that. In fact, you can be a rich young ruler. The Bible talks about the rich young ruler. You can be rich. You must not wait until you are old to become rich. You can be young and rich. As a student, you can become a multi-millionaire, not just in naira, in dollars. You can become a young billionaire without yahoo. Am I communicating? You must not be a ritualist. There is a kingdom way to this thing. I heard of some very young millionaires. Young guys in their 20s. Some of them are still in school. Yet they are CEOs, entrepreneurs. They have corporations, companies. They employ graduates to work for them. Yet they themselves are students. How many of you have heard of Tara Durotoye, the wife of Fela Durotoye? Have you heard of, you must have heard of House of Tara. A lot of the ladies, women here, Tara product, all this cosmetic, she does it. Do you know, the wife of Fela Durotoye, the idea, the vision to start up House of Tara as an entrepreneur came to her as a young undergraduate student of UNILAG. She read law, but today she is not practicing law. She's an entrepreneur. She has become a billionaire herself right now. From that business idea that she began in 200 level. 200 level law student. That was when she acted on the idea and took the risk. Today, she's a multi-millionaire in dollars. She's a billionaire in Nigerian Naira. Anytime you use House of Tara product, money is entering our account. But meanwhile, a lot of our students, they'll sit down there waiting to... Okay, we'll come to that one. Because that was what they were told. You see, it's part of the poverty problem. Am I communicating? I believe God will raise entrepreneurs in this ministry. Some of you self is from Remedials, you start your own business. You won't even wait until you are 100 level. If you are waiting to graduate before you start making money, how do they say something don't do you in Yoruba? Ekonse. we go look for where they don't do you. Are you getting me? It's becoming too late. Are you getting me? You are never too young to make money. Do you understand? Okay, I said give me Proverbs 8:12. He said, I wisdom dwell with prudence. I found out knowledge of witty invention. Next verse. He says, the fear of the Lord is ready to move on. Counsel is my sound wisdom. Understanding, I have strength. Move down. Yeah, good. Verse 18. He says, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches. This is the spirit of wisdom speaking. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Look at this. He says, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches. Long-lasting riches. Not this type that develop wing and fly. Eh? If you make money through Yahoo Plus, Yahoo Plus Plus, Yahoo Pro Max, it will not last. Even the small money they make does not last. Hope you know. And then Satan will cut short their life. They will pay for it with their lives. I'm yet to see a Yahoo person that lived long. Most of them die young. Go and check. Because they exchange their lives for that wealth. Satan is a wicked, terrible master. I'm telling you. Apart from the terrible prices they pay, it will cut short their life. Many of them die in their prime. Are you getting me? Say, okay, you make the money, make the millions, but you have just 3 years to enjoy it. You have just 5 years like this. I heard the story of someone that went to Kano, met a native doctor to make money. They do blood money ritual. And then after the whole process, to find out how many years you will enjoy the wealth. Because Satan cannot give long life. Never. Rather, he cut short people's life. He's an expert at that. There is this demonic chicken, fowl, that the native doctor will bring. He will make some incantation. Then he will now give you maize, masara corn. You will pour for the chicken. The number of corn that the chicken eats is the number of years you will enjoy the ritual money. Unfortunately for him, the chicken ate one. When after he poured the corn, the native doctor gave him, the chicken ate two, the chicken ate three, and the chicken stood like that. He was pushing the chicken, eat more now for where? The chicken no greed. Native doctor said, oh, 3 years. Go and put your house in order. But you see, only God can give you durable riches with long life to go with it. Prosperity with security. Are you getting me? You see, a lot of God's children, they look for how to make money the wrong ways because they are not well taught and educated in the church on how to make money. That's why we are teaching you. A lot of God's children. Praise God. They are looking for how to escape poverty, gain financial freedom. So they are not taught in church. So they resort to learning it from the people of the world. And unfortunately, Satan will introduce falsehood and then gets it corrupted. And then that is how many of them have derailed. We are correcting that already. Am I communicating? You mustn't go to Satan or the world to learn how to make wealth. There is a kingdom way to do it. Then give me Psalm 112. Psalm 112 from verse 1. From verse 1. Are you there? It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandment. He says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Verse 3. He says, wealth and what? Riches shall be in his house. Watch this. Wealth and riches. So those that say you cannot be rich and righteous, how can they explain this scripture? Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth for one day, forever.
So you can be rich, wealthy, and what? Righteous, according to the Bible. Don't just believe anything that cannot be proved or substantiated by scriptures. Praise God. Don't believe those religious jargon you hear people say that you cannot be rich and righteous. The Bible says you can be rich and righteous. I just show you two scriptures now to prove that point. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is what? Established. Then if you read Mark 10:23 down, you see the rich young ruler there. Praise God. I say praise God. You can combine deep spirituality with massive prosperity. Let me preach it to your neighbor. You can combine deep spirituality and massive prosperity. You can be very rich, extremely rich, and yet be very righteous and be holy. Yes. You can be on fire for God, speaking in tongues, and then speaking in cash. Yes. And I told you in this season and this end time, we will not only speak in tongues, we will speak in cash. Because financial heavyweight champions are rising. God told me through this series, He will raise kingdom financiers. He will raise kingdom financial giants. Financial kingdom financial giants are rising. It's a training ground. Praise God. Those that say you cannot be rich and righteous, what would they say about men like Abraham? Eh? God said Abraham is my friend. He's a friend of God. He's even the father of our faith. The Bible calls him the father of faith. Give me Genesis 13:2. Let's see how poor Abraham was. A friend of God. You see, Abraham was what? What's the meaning of very? Give me an amplified. See, when you study the Bible, you realize that almost all the people, if not all of them, that God associated himself with, they were rich. Even Jesus is called the seed of Abraham. The Bible says we should look unto Abraham, our father. Kai. And when I looked at Abraham, he was a very rich man. This is... He said, now Abraham was extremely rich. Aye. This is Bible. Abraham took wealth to the extreme. And you say you want to accept poverty. He said, look unto Abraham, your father, that took wealth to the extreme. Abraham was extremely rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Listen, you cannot help the poor if you agree to be poor and remain poor. Kill all your excuses. Say, my father was not rich. I was born into a poor family. Listen. It's not your fault that you came from a poor family or background. But it is your fault if you choose to remain poor and die poor and leave poverty legacy to your children. That one is your fault. We should hold you responsible. So you have to make up your mind that even if I was not born into a poor family, that's naturally speaking, I didn't come from a rich family. A rich family must come out from me. Yes, you have to make that choice. Say with me, even if I didn't come from a rich family must come out from me. I will not leave a legacy of poverty and debt to my children. You have to make that decision, and then you walk towards it. Praise God. Stop celebrating poverty as if it's a sign of spirituality. Poverty is not the will of God for you. I say poverty is not the will of God for you. No father in the natural will poverty to any child he loves. That is even earthly parent, not to talk of our heavenly father. Am I communicating? Give me 3 John verse 2. It says, I wish, that word wish is actually my
my greatest desire or prayer for you. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. You see. So your prosperity, whether the prosperity of your soul or the prosperity of your body, that's your health, or the material and financial prosperity, physical prosperity, is God's perfect will. It has to, listen, let it be clear and let it become your concrete conviction. Let your heart be established in this truth that it is the will of God for me to be financially prosperous, for me to be rich and wealthy. Because many Christians, is not yet clear to them because of wrong teaching. They've been wrongly taught and indoctrinated so that they have accepted poverty as the will of God. Just like some have accepted sickness as the will of God. If poverty, sickness is the will of God, then of what use was Christ's sacrifice? Why did Jesus come? The sacrifice of Jesus did not just handle sin. It handled all the consequences of sin. Include, what are the consequences of sin? Poverty, sickness, death, failure, frustration. There was no poverty until sin came in. There was no sickness until sin came in. There was no failure until sin came in. Until Adam and Eve sinned. Now, if it is true that the sacrifice of Jesus has handled and solved the sin problem, that means all the consequences of sin has been paid for. That means poverty is not for you. It's not the will of God for you. Are you listening? Let me tell you, neighbor, poverty is not God's will for you. Refuse to accept it. Refuse to pamper it. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 35 verse 27. It says, let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, which had pleasure in what? In the poverty of his servant. Which had pleasure in what? In the prosperity of his servant. Your financial prosperity gives God pleasure. It brings pleasure to the heart of God. If God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, what do you think is going through God's heart when he sees his servants in poverty? Is it pleasure? Displeasure. Because that's not his will. Jesus has already paid the price to solve the poverty problem. Okay, give me 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. It can be clearer than this. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Jesus was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. When did Jesus become poor? On the cross. When he took upon himself all the sins of the world, present, past, and future. He was made sin with our sin. He was made poor with our poverty. He was made sick with our sickness. He became a curse for us. And the curse of the law is summarized in three words: poverty, sickness, and death. The Bible says Christ was made a curse with our curse on the tree. He took away our curses, including the curse of poverty. Let's finish the reading. Go back. It says, no. Give me the KJV, King James Version. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, not for his sake, for your sake, he became poor on that cross. He took your poverty, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. So I have a question. Has Christ been made poor? Yes. When? More than 2,000 years ago, right? When he hung on the cross. So at what time were you made rich? you listen? At what time were you made rich? At the same time that Christ was made poor, there was an exchange on that cross. Watch this. He took our poverty and then gave us his riches. Look at it there. He says, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Say with me, I have been made rich. 2,000 years ago, through the sacrifice of Jesus, Jesus became poor on the cross so that I will be made rich. Now, if it is true that he has been made poor with your poverty, that means you'll be made rich. Because on the cross there was an exchange. He took my poverty, he gave me his riches. He took my sin, he gave me his righteousness. He took my sickness, he gave me his health and healing. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
So the believer is not the poor trying to be rich. The believer is the rich discovering his estate, being taught his inheritance of wealth in Christ so that he can enter it and manifest it. Are you getting me? It has to be clear that is the will of God. Your financial prosperity is the will of God against religious beliefs and teaching. Hallelujah. Listen. It is God's will for you to have money and plenty of it, enough of it, to fulfill your divine calling, purpose and destiny, to fulfill God's kingdom agenda, to live a comfortable, good life, to bless humanity. It is God's will for you to have money, enough money, plenty money. But it is not God's will for money to have you. In fact, it is Satan's will for money to have you. There is a difference between having money and money having you. God is not opposed to his children being rich. He's only opposed to them being covetous. And what does it mean to be covetous? It means to be selfish, to be greedy. Are you getting me? Why? Because of the love of money. Proudly sponsored by Mammon. God wants you to have money and plenty of it, but God does not want money to have you. What does it mean for money to have you? That means you are being controlled by money. That means you love money more than you love God. Your trust is in money. Your faith is in money, not in God. We'll come to that. Are you getting me? Glory to God. I say glory to God. Say with me, I will have plenty money. No, I have plenty money. But I will never allow money to have me. Listen, money is good in your hand, but never allow it enter your heart. When it enters your heart, that means the love of money has set in. And you cannot love and serve God and Mammon. You have to choose one. So protect money, protect your heart from the love of money. Money will kill you. It can kill you the moment it enters your heart. That means you are beginning to love it more than God. You obey it. Money has become your master. You know, there are many people that money controls them. Money determines which job offer they should take, not the voice of God. They don't even consult God. So, ah, God, you blind? This one is paying 500,000. The second job offer is paying 250. The third one, 50K. Say, God, you blind? You can see, it's the first one. That they don't even care to hear from God before they make choices. The voice of money has accomplished things that even the voice of God has not been able to accomplish in the life of some people. Eh? If you give some people enough money now, they can even go to Sambisa Forest and base there and work there. They won't care to find out whether it's God's will. In fact, they will tell you, God has already spoken. Pastor, I don't need to seek, he has spoken. Don't be led by money. As many as are led by what? The Spirit of God, not money. They are the sons of God. Allow God to lead you. That is how some people have died prematurely. They have made regrettable decisions because they didn't care to consult God. They allow money. A lot of ladies have said yes to the men, and guys, they should have said no because of the love of money. Because to them, marrying a rich man that is loaded financially is their poverty escape plan. They planned it long ago together with their parents. I must escape the poverty of my father's house. So they will look for one rich guy. The parents have even warned them, if you no get money, no even bring them come here. So people now use it to cash out. People marry to cash in and cash out. There are Nigerians that have married because of visa, US visa. So they will job a white woman, marry her, then their plan is, if I go there, they will even tell their girlfriend in Nigeria, Nkechi, I go divorce her, then marry you. You understand? That's the plan, oh, poverty escape plan. They use it to japa. You understand? Japa escape. No, japa what? Japa plan. Say plan A, I'll try. If they don't give me plan B, I'll just look for one rich woman with Namugu. I'll just marry her from US or UK, you know? So people now use marriage to cash out. A lot of women that marry these billionaires, at the slightest disagreement, say, I no longer love him. The love I had for him just died. Next thing, they'll call their lawyer. I want divorce. So that they will slash the man's wealth. 50% or more will go to them. That is how some people have become billionaires, so some women. Divorces, millionaires. So marriage has become a cash out plan. You see the problem? Some footballers are afraid to marry because of that. Some are hiding their wealth under their mother. Mother's name. But you know, the woman, their eyes, they chook. I was checking Forbes billionaires list. I was shocked that the top 10 billionaires, more than half of them are divorcees. And their divorced wives have become billionaires too. Just from divorce. But is that the will of God? People don't even marry for who they even talk about God's will. Who they talk of love? Yeah, we are talking of money. See, I mean, poverty never tire you. Who they talk of love? You know? You understand? Don't become like that. Tell your neighbor you are different. Say it again. You are different.
You are different.
You even see on social media some so-called celebrities, female singles, say, I cannot marry, I can't even date a guy that is not a billionaire. I can't date a guy that doesn't have money. I can manage, a millionaire in Naira, even though my preference is dollars, millionaire in dollars. You are a thief. What is wrong with you making your own money? Why did they put eye for somebody else? You are a thief. As a lady, that's the truth. You be thief. Oju kokoro. How does Yoruba say it? Make your own money. You are not handicapped. Even handicapped people, we have rich ones. Don't be lazy. Hey, it's as if some women have put their brain inside freezer. They can't think again on how to make money multiply. Sorry, I'm not abusing women. They will only be looking for one rich guy. Somebody that has sweated to make his own money. This thing they pay me now. But in AGMI, who raise women that are multi-billionaires?
You understand? The ones that, as a lady, make up your mind, you won't be a liability to your husband. Your husband should be happy he married you. What is wrong with surprising? Just credit his account, 10 million. You understand? Surprise him now. You understand? He said, darling, your birthday, I just got you a brand new Rolls Royce. Anything wrong? Anything spoiled? Why must it be only the others, or the one way, one-sided all the time? See, nothing gives a married man so much joy and happiness like when he's in a financially challenging situation and there's no money in his hand. Then the wife just surprised him from nowhere. Hey, darling, I just credited your account. Now check. 50 million. The man will even carry you on his head like, I don't, you understand? His love for you will increase, raise to power 50. Am I communicating? Don't be a parasite. Don't be a parasite. Be an asset. Let the man that is going to marry you, your husband, let him be thankful to God they married you. Don't be a leech. Praise God. There are women that are billionaires. Have you heard of this woman, Folorunsho Alakija? Uh-huh. At a time, she was the richest black woman on the planet at a time. In Nigeria, is it Africa? In Africa, but then the richest black woman in the world, self, at a time. You are not handicapped. Put on your thinking cap. Praise God. That's why we are here. That one is to help somebody. So that when it is time to choose a man to marry, you won't be confused by his money. When you have your own, you now check more important things like the will of God and then his character. Not the one that will marry you and be turn you into boxing, punching bag every day. Am I communicating? Now, the third misconception is that whether you become poor or rich is God's sovereign choice. It's a lie. Whether you become poor or rich is God's sovereign choice. That means it is completely decided by God. In other words, this myth and misconception, what they are saying is that it is God that decides completely whether you become rich or you become poor. But let's see what the Bible says. Proverbs 22 verse 2. Let's read. 1, 2, 3, go. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them so. What does that scripture say? The Lord is the maker of them all. That scripture does not say the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them so. That's not what that scripture said. Unlike the misconception we just heard. It is not God by his sovereignty that say you must be poor, you must be rich. Are you getting me? The Lord is the maker of them all. In other words, he created everyone, but they separated themselves into rich and poor by their choices. The Lord is not the maker of them so. God is not responsible for their condition. Their choices is what is responsible for their condition. The Lord is not the maker of them so. He's a maker, he's a creator, Elohim. Their choices make them so. Whether rich or poor, their choices make them so. Listen, your decisions determines your financial destiny. Your decisions determine your what? Financial destiny. Every
Everyone must take personal responsibility for their financial destiny. People's personal choices is responsible for their financial condition, whether rich or poor. It is people's personal choices. Listen, it is true that it is the will of God for you to be rich, wealthy, to be financially prosperous. But do you know that your wrong choice can override the will of God and then you end up poor? So you must make the right choices in line with God's will for your life. Praise God. Romans 10:12. What does it say? Romans 10:12. It says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him." The same Lord is rich unto all. Did he say unto some? People that say, "Oh, it's God that decide that some people will be rich, some must be poor." Read this scripture again. The same Lord is what? Rich unto some, unto most, unto all. So it is up to you whether you accept those riches, you make the right choice and then better your lot, or you rot there. Am I communicating? In Isaiah 1:19, King James says, "If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land." But I like the way the Living Bible Translation put it: "If you will only obey me, God say, I will make you rich." If you have the Living Bible Translation, it says, "If you will only listen, and if you will only obey me, I will make you rich." In other words, kingdom prosperity answers to your obedience. Obedience to God's voice, obedience to the voice and leading of the Holy Spirit, obedience to kingdom financial principles. There are laws. We'll look at those laws. Yes, those principles and laws. Am I communicating? That govern kingdom wealth and prosperity. Because you want to be rich God's way, you apply those kingdom laws. We'll look at it next week. Am I communicating? Now, next misconception. It is wrong and erroneous to discuss money matters in the church. It is wrong. Have you heard some people talk like that? No. That you shouldn't talk about money in church. Oh. The altar is too holy to talk about mundane things like money. The subject of money should not be discussed in church at all. But the same people are working for salary. They can't even come for midweek service because of that. But what does the Bible say? Give me 1 Timothy 3:15. You need to understand that the word of God is the final authority on all issues of life, including finance. The word of God is the final authority on all areas of life, including the area of finances. So, the word of God covers all the areas of your life, including your finances. And the church of Jesus Christ is the number one authority that should speak about money. Am I communicating? Are you aware that God is the original owner of all the wealth of the universe? Even the money Satan is claiming to have and giving people, God is still the original owner. Am I communicating? God is a creator. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And then Psalm 24:1, he said, "The earth and its fullness thereof belongs to God." So who is the landlord of the universe? Who is the owner of all the wealth of the universe? God. God is the sole owner and original owner of the wealth of the whole world. And His church is the number one authority that should speak on finance in the correct way, in the kingdom way. Am I communicating? You know, people attend business seminars and all of that, rich, wealthy people, different kind of seminars, entrepreneurship summit and all of it. It's good. But you have to be taught rightly in church on the subject of money and gain the proper understanding even before you attend all those seminars in the marketplaces, or else you may be confused, or they may lead you astray. Am I communicating? It's very important. He says, 1 Timothy 3:15, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is a church. The house of God is a church of the living God. Help me that last part. The church of the living God is the pillar and ground of truth. The church is a pillar and ground of truth. So if you want to know the truth about money and finance, where do you find out? Go to the pillar. Church. The church is a pillar and ground of truth. That means the place where you will be taught the truth about kingdom finance. Because God has a financial plan for you. God is interested in his children succeeding financially, prospering financially. You see, the teachings on finance outside the church, though, can be good, but it can also be easily corrupted by mammon and falsehood. That's why the church is a pillar and ground of truth, where the subject of finance should be correctly taught to believers so that they can prosper God's way and the kingdom way. Praise God. So it is a big lie that it is wrong and erroneous to teach on money in the church. Then look at 2 Peter 1:2. The Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Then verse 3, it says, according as his divine power has given unto us what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge. You see, is money part of things that pertain to life? And the Bible says, according as God's divine power, he has given us what? All things that pertain unto life. Does money affect your life on earth? Are you aware there were people that were supposed to come for this service, but lack of transport money or money for fuel has kept them at home? Are you aware this service couldn't have held without money? Are you aware this hall they didn't give us for free? Are you aware? Are you getting me? No matter how much a guy loves a lady, he must still pay bright price. Ask Pastor Nenkoop. Without that bright price, you will not marry, no matter your love level. Even if the love they do you one thing, you will pay. Say Jesus has paid the price for us. You know me, say you no go pay bright price. Praise God. I say praise God. So money is important. People say money is not important. It's a lie, oh. Money is important. Hi. Listen. People say Jesus did not teach about money. Go and do your own research. I've done my own. Jesus taught more about money than any other subject except the kingdom. The only subject matter that Jesus discussed in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the only subject he spoke more about money is the kingdom. Go and check his parables, his teachings. So it's a lie. Am I communicating? When the anointing came upon Jesus, Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me. The first category of people that the anointing of Jesus is targeted towards helping is the poor. Look at it there. He has anointed me to what? Preach the gospel to the poor. That's to tell you how much God hates poverty. So that when the anointing came upon Jesus, the number one problem that anointing is on a mission to handle is poverty. Are you getting this? Even before healing the sick, look at it there. God solved the poverty problem even before sickness problem. Look at it there. Say the anointing, we address poverty first before sickness. Am I communicating?
Elabakataya. How can our father own the whole wealth in the world and they say we should not teach it in church? It doesn't even make sense. God says, Agai 2:8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, and we are his children. We are members of his royal family. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. No wonder he said, all things are yours. Is money part of all things? And then, does it even make sense that you should not teach on money in church? No, I'm aware some people have gone to extremes. But the fake is proof that there is original. Did you hear what I just said? Next misconception is that the prosperity gospel is fake, false, and fallacious. And it promotes greed, covetousness, and materialism. Hence, it should be abolished. And here is the scripture that people quote wrongly to support their claim. Galatians 1 verse 6. So, I say the next myth and misconception is that the prosperity gospel is fake, false, and fallacious. And that it promotes greed and covetousness and materialism. And here is the scripture the propounders and proponents of that myth normally quote and misconception. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that has called you into the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ unto another gospel. So people say the prosperity gospel is the another gospel. Is that what the Bible teaches? Read Bible in context. Don't just lift scripture out of context. Verse 7. He says, which is not another. He said, this another gospel is actually not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. He said, this is a perversion, a perverted version of the gospel. Next verse. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. Now, the gospel is all about Jesus Christ. The gospel is Christocentric. Christ is at the epicenter and the circumference of the gospel. Am I communicating? The gospel centers around Christ and have Christ as its core focus. Christ is the substance of the scripture. Is the substance and testimony of scripture. There is only one gospel. It's called the gospel of Christ. However, this one gospel of Christ has numerous aspects. Am I communicating? It has numerous aspects. There are different dimensions to it. There is the righteousness and holiness. There is prosperity. There is healing. Am I communicating? Deliverance. Am I communicating? So, is one gospel that reveals Christ in different dimensions. So it will be wrong for you to accept one dimension of the gospel and then reject the other. You will be wrong to say, I accept the teaching and preaching on holiness and righteousness, but I reject prosperity. You are wrong. And you will also be wrong to say, I accept the prosperity part, I reject holiness and righteousness. You are also wrong. All of them are important. Did you hear what I said? Because they are a revelation of the Christ. You cannot live the authentic, balanced Christian life without embracing all these numerous aspects of the gospel. So there is a real gospel of prosperity. It's a subset of the gospel of Christ. Am I communicating? Because the Bible is abundantly clear that it is the will of God for his children to prosper, and God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. The fact that some greedy charlatans and preachers have made merchandise of the prosperity gospel and have perverted and corrupted the prosperity gospel does not mean it is false. Neither does it mean it is not of God. Everything that is of God is subject to abuse. It can be abused by anybody. Even the holiness gospel has been abused. You don't know? Am I lying? Am I talking to myself? Am I talking to myself? Just like people abuse other aspects of the gospel, people also abuse prosperity. Some people, they use it to milk the congregation dry. There are some charlatan preachers that they use it to express their covetous and greedy attitude and spirit, extorting people, stealing away in the name of the Lord, prophetic manipulation. So seed, you don't have cash, use ATM. Say, I'll wait for you. There's one ATM outside. In fact, there's ATM POS behind. Go and meet that usher there. Withdraw the money. I'm waiting for you now. Bring it now. You see, people abuse the message, but it does not mean it is not of God. The fake of anything is proof that there is original. Is there fake 1,000 naira note? Do you know why? Because there is an original 1,000. Have you ever seen a fake 3 naira note? 3 naira note. But is there 5 naira note? Is there fake version? Why is there fake version? Because there is original. Now, there is no fake 3 naira note. If people start producing fake 15 naira note right now, you know, nobody will even look at it, because they know that this one must be fake, because there is no original. So anywhere you see fake, there is original. I'm not talking of the fake perverted version of the prosperity gospel. I'm talking of the authentic, genuine one as revealed in scriptures. If somebody is using his phone to do rubbish and abuse people, does that mean you should not use phone? I will never use phone. They say, why? They say, this person is using his own to scam people, is using his own to call and abuse people, using it to do rubbish, browse pornography. Therefore, I will never use phone. That is what it's like when you say there is nothing like prosperity gospel because of those that have abused it. You are wrong. There is. If others are using their phone wrongly, you use your own rightly. Simple. It's all about choice. So, that is not true. I say that is not true. The fake is proof of the original. There is only one original gospel of Christ, but it has many aspects that it covers, including financial prosperity, because God has a financial plan for his children and is his will for them to prosper and do well. Okay, now listen, the real anger of so many people is actually against greed, covetousness and materialism, which is proudly sponsored by Mammon, not Kingdom Financial Prosperity. People's real anger is against what? Greed, selfishness, covetousness that those charlatans are manifesting, which is sponsored by Mammon, the god of money. But it's not actually against the real Kingdom Financial Prosperity. Are you getting me? Very important. For us in the kingdom, it is money with a mission and prosperity with a purpose. And what is that purpose? Christ is saying, my city shall through prosperity be spread abroad, which is kingdom advancement and establishment, being a blessing to the body of Christ, the world at large, your family, etc. Are you getting me? Our money is on a mission, kingdom mission. Our prosperity is not without purpose, it's with a kingdom purpose. Materialism is the desire to acquire and have money without any kingdom purpose attached. That's materialism. And it's a manifestation of what? The love of money. Mammon spirit operation. Praise God. So we are different. There is a big difference between kingdom financial prosperity and materialism. In the world, what you have is materialism. In the kingdom, we have what? financial prosperity, kingdom wealth, which is connected, is in connection to kingdom mission and kingdom purpose. Is it clear? You must know the difference between both. So when you see people abuse, attack prosperity, genuine prosperity preacher, do you know there are some people God called to preach on prosperity? To make God, that's like their ministry mandate. People like Bishop Oyedepo, God spoke to him, he said, go down, he was in US, go down to Africa and make my people rich. You understand? But some people abuse him, they call him all manner of names for obeying God and preaching what God says he should preach. Just because his own mandate is not to preach holiness, like Papa Kumuyi, you now abuse him. So you want him to abandon what God says he should preach. Now, it doesn't mean he does not preach on holiness and righteousness. He does. I was watching International Ministers Conference recently. He was talking about holiness and righteousness. I was so blessed. He preaches on all the major Bible subjects, including that. But of course, his main mandate is what? Faith and prosperity. And that is what their church is known for. Are you getting me? Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Never open your mouth and abuse somebody that is doing what God said he should do. There are some people that don't believe that as a Christian you can be genuinely rich. Anybody that they see is rich, they will say he must be a thief, he must have stolen the money. Something is wrong with you. That kind of thinking, honestly, something is wrong with you. Some people are like that. They don't believe that you can honestly be rich and prosperous as a Christian without doing shady deals. No. Praise God. Next misconception, that if you go to school, graduate with good grades, and get a good, well-paying job, you will automatically become rich and wealthy. That's another misconception. If you go to school, you graduate with good grades and get a good, well-paying job, you will automatically become rich and wealthy. Is it true? How many graduates that are getting good job, how many of them are truly rich and wealthy? How many? Look up. There is a big difference between schooling and learning. You can be a graduate and yet a financial illiterate. Are you getting me? What makes you rich is not because of salary that you earn from a job. What makes you rich is because you possess the relevant knowledge, understanding, and wisdom about how to make money, wealth creation, how to multiply money, how to manage money. Are you getting me? You are rich in that area. You know what to do with the money, the income, the salary you earn in order to make, multiply, and manage money. How to invest and all of that. The mistake people make is that once they start earning salary, automatically they will become rich. Because you can earn salary and then you are still poor. Why are you still poor? Because you are ignorant in the area of finances. You lack financial education. You lack financial literacy. You don't have financial intelligence. Even if they give you 10 million, it's just a matter of time. It's like money misread. You will blow all the money and come back to square one. There are some people here, if God should appear with a bag of money, $100 million, and ask them, I want to give you this money now, what will you do with it? They can't even answer that question. There are people like that. Rather, what their mind will be thinking of is their expenses. What to buy? What to buy? Spending. What to spend the money on? The rich and wealthy don't think like that. They think in terms of multiplying the money, growing the money like trees. They think in terms of investment. They look for investment opportunities. Are you rich in that area? See, you need to go for knowledge. You will soon know that after you graduate from school, what is most important is not the course you read, is the problem you can solve. That's what society is going to reward you with money for. So develop your skill, sharpen your skills, discover your gift, your talent, your abilities, then be committed to developing them, then deploy them, then duplicate them. Refine your skills, sharpen it, and then use it to solve problems. Are you getting me? Possess valuable, highly valuable skills that will bring you money. Because money is a reward system. Money is a reward for solving problems, human problems, painful problems, difficult problems. Money is a reward for solving problems. It's also what comes to you when you exchange value. Money is a means of exchange for value. So create value if you want to create wealth. Create value through your product, your goods, and your services. Create value. Be extremely valuable. When you create value, money will come to you, because money is an exchange for value. What can you do? What do you have that is valuable enough to meet woman need, to solve woman problem, to provide solution, so that you can be rewarded with money, so that you can exchange it for money? In the marketplace of life, nothing sells like skills. Refine your skills. Are you getting me? Nothing sells like skills. In fact, not even your certificate. Thank God for school and certificate. Not even your degrees. Thank God for degrees. Your skills are more valuable in the marketplace of life than your degrees and certificates that you got from school. Because that's what the world is looking for. Who will solve their problem? Darkness shall cover the earth. Anywhere you look, you will see problem. Now listen, anywhere you see problem, there is also money making opportunities there if you can provide solution to the problem. So what rich people do, wealthy people do, is that they look for places that there are problems, then they check, do I have valuable products and services? Do I have valuable skill to solve that problem, to meet that need, so that I can be rewarded by money? Are you getting me? That's what they do. So this thing is not magical. Making money is not a mystery. It's a reward for your valuable product and services that you exchange for money. Am I communicating? You can be earning salary, and then it's as if you are fetching water with basket. You are earning it to put it in a bag with holes, because you are financially illiterate. No financial education and intelligence. Tell your neighbor, go for knowledge. Say it again, go for knowledge. Listen, the world's educational system is a capitalist system. The world's economic system is a capitalist system that programs people to be financial failures and slaves, financial slaves. Are you aware salary and slavery go together? In fact, the origin of the word salary is not bad. It's a good starting point. But you must know what to do with the salary to become rich. That's what I'm saying. Now listen, you can never become truly rich and wealthy by earning only salary. How many people on Forbes billionaire list as salary earners? Is it Elon Musk? Is it Arnold Bernard? Is it Mark Zuckerberg? How many of them are salary earners? Talk to me. How many of them are working for government and earning salary? Working for oil company? You think the person working for the oil company can be richer than the owner of the oil company? Do you understand? So you must think in terms of being a producer. Kai, next week I'll talk to you. Wow, producer mentality. Even when you walk, don't just walk like a bond servant. Walk like a hired servant. As you take up a job, also decide how many years you are going to work and when you will retire. But many people start working, they don't think along that line. 20, 30 years until they retire, and then I've not even built house. It's waiting for pension to use it to build house. It's an error. Are you getting me? Go for financial education. Read books on finances. Take this thing serious. Take your financial destiny seriously. Take the bull by the horn. Don't die in ignorance. Am I communicating? Do you know Chinwe Achebe? I don't know. Chinwe Achebe. What's his latest book? Things Fall Apart, right? Okonkwo and all of that. Do you know what he read in the university? He's a graduate of pharmacy. But the gift in him is what? Literature in English. What of Nkem Owo Ukwa? This Nigerian actor, is he even still acting? I used to like his movies. He's comic actor, comedian, he make you laugh tire. All those his movies. Do you know what he read in university? He's an engineer. Is it chemical engineering or chemistry? I forgot. One of them. Eh? He read mechanical engineering. But the gift he discovered in him is acting. Let me tell you about discover your gift. Because it will pay you more than that palio, that degree and certificate. Your gift, discover, refine it, develop, it will pay you far more. I told you about Fela Durotoich. He read law, but what turned her into a multi-millionaire? Eh? Entrepreneurship, Tara, House of Tara. Took a risk and started a business. Don't die an obligate salary earner. Plateau state, this is part of our problem. You understand? Almost everybody is waiting for government job. How many people will government employ? Are you not aware of the army of graduates year in, year out that are being churned out? Eh? Looking for job that are not even there in the first place. And you too, you want to grow up with that, you want to graduate that kind of mentality. You need to think differently. So you develop financial wisdom. You gain financial wisdom, knowledge and understanding to become rich and wealthy. Okay? Then the Bible says, Proverbs 11:9, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. It's through knowledge that you'll be delivered from poverty into your destiny of prosperity. You have to take full responsibility for developing financial intelligence through a lifelong commitment to continuous financial education and learning. Okay? I said salary is synonymous with financial slavery. They go together. Salary is the wage of a slave. If you go and study the origin of the word salary, it's actually the wage that they pay a slave. That's why the two go together. Job, J-O-B, somebody say job means journey of the broke. It doesn't mean it's bad to get a job. It simply means that you need to work more on yourself than you do on your job. You need to go for financial education, sharpen your skill, convert it into marketable skill, refine it, be rich in your knowledge, understanding and wisdom about money and finances. Am I communicating? So go beyond just getting a job. If you really desire financial freedom, okay, getting a job to earn salary is a good starting point, but it's not enough. It's never enough. You must invest in financial education. Mike Mudock, wise man, he said, if you are really serious about fulfilling your financial destiny, you want to be rich, wealthy, he said, the number of books you should have read on money should be equal to your age. So the question is, how old are you? How many books on money and finance have you read to tell you whether you are serious or unserious? See, people spend, go to school, work from 7, 8 to 6, 8 to 5 and all of that to get money. But so, most of these people have never really sat down to acquire the necessary financial education they need. Is that not an error? You are working for something that you don't even understand how it works. You don't understand what money is. You don't even understand how to create, make money. You don't understand how to multiply it. You don't know how to manage it. Yet you are working for this thing. Go, you even went to school so that you will get a good grade, get job to get it. Yet you are ignorant. In fact, I was listening to a financial expert. He said something. He said, knowledge is the new money. I say, wow. One of the seven things the Jews teach their children is that real wealth is portable knowledge. We'll go deeper next week on that. Tell your neighbor, go for knowledge. Read books. Do you have a library, self, to begin with? Anytime you increase your learning power, your learning ability, you increase your earning power. The more you learn, the more you earn. You see that? The more you learn, the more you earn. That's why the manager is paid higher than the gate man. The more you learn, the more you earn. Go for and invest in mentorship. I've talked about financial education. The next one is financial mentorship. Get a financial mentor. Be very intentional about reading and studying books on finances. Be very deliberate about getting financial mentors if you want to put an end to financial tormentors. Feed on their materials, their literatures, that's those financial mentors, people with proven track record. Okay? Kingdom people, kingdom-minded people. Get their books, literatures. Use your data wisely. Use your data responsibly. Cut down on all those entertainment. Brain Jotter today, Mr. Macaroni tomorrow. The YouTube video that will help your life financially, you will not watch. You will say you don't have data for that one. But you have data for rubbish. You understand? Nigerians are very funny people. They spend a lot on entertainment and fun than they spend on education and improving their lives. When you go online, use the internet to upgrade your life. Use the internet as a tool for personal growth and development in the area of finance. Go for knowledge. Are you getting me? There are so many good videos out there by good financial mentors and experts. Why don't you watch those videos? Make it a daily habit to learn something new about money. To enroll in financial education every day. Don't go to bed until you have gained financial knowledge, wisdom, understanding every day. You will spend how many hours watching Premier League that the players don't even know you exist? How many of them can you call when house rent or school fees or challenges, financial issues come up? How many of them will help you? Do what will help your life. Whether your team loses or win, it no concern you. Remove your emotion from football. You are sad, say, because you lost. You play? oh, we help your financial destiny. Am I communicating? Some of you even fight now. Even the hospital bill, you don't get money. The people you fought for, they don't even know you exist. They are not aware. Neither are they going to foot your hospital bill. Be wise. Say, lady, you spend time watching Nigerian movie, African Magic. You will end your destiny in front of a TV. Say you are watching African Magic. 4 hours. A movie that has part one, season one, season two. Zero financial education. And you wonder why you are broke. You are looking for the Mugu boyfriend you will call for urgent 2K. You have refused to invest in yourself. Praise God. You have to change. You see, I'm talking to you like this because I want your financial level to shift. Praise God. So follow those financial mentors very well. Feed on their materials. Follow their instructions obediently. Attend their seminars and workshops as much as you can, both online, on ground, name it. Praise God. Discover, develop, deploy and duplicate your gift, your talent, your abilities. Then refine and convert them through practice and training into highly valuable skills, problem solving skills, solution providing skills that can be exchanged for money. Use your skills, sell them. Nothing sells like skills. Excellent skills in the marketplace of life. Honey your skills. See, your education is incomplete in school without learning a skill. Skills can be learned. Learn something. Don't just graduate with degree and pali. Where is the skill that you have acquired that will bring you money? Because like I told you, is when you graduate and you are in the marketplace, then you will now realize how the world works. That nobody cares what you read. Nobody even cares which discipline. People care the problem you can solve with your skill. In what way has that degree or certificate, in what way has it helped you to develop a problem solving skill and a solution providing skill that can be exchanged for money? That's what counts. So the graduate of mechanical engineering that cannot repair a car, of what use is his how many years in school, sir? 5 years in school. Meanwhile, you will see the roadside mechanic that doesn't even know the spelling of mechanical engineering, but he's very highly skilled. That you understand, he knows how to the problem, that the ignition. Now he has fixed it, and then they pay him. Why are they rewarding him for money? It's for his skill. Bishop Abioye said after he graduated from school, he read an engineering course, if I'm not mistaken. Is after he graduated, he had to learn from those mechanics. Because he realized most of what they taught them was theory. He said he will carry his mechanic clothes inside leather. He will dress like suit. You understand? Leave house as if he's going to work. Once he entered the shade where this thing. Now well done, he will change and wear the mechanic clothes. He had to humble himself to learn skills from those people. Because he realized they were good. They were better than him. He had the quality, them they had the skill. Tell your neighbor, go for skill. That tailoring, take it serious. You think your degree is more important than it? You will soon learn. Hey, life never teach you. Better you look for a job for 5 years. You understand? You see, that cake way they do, those small chops, take it serious. It may be what will earn you millions tomorrow. Am I communicating? Imagine you are so excellent, you are so good, and then people like governors are contracting you for the wedding of their sons and all the big wig. You think they will pay you 50,000? discover and sharpen your skills. Are you getting me? Take it seriously. That's why I like Yoruba culture. You know, there's this thing the Yorubas do, that no matter the school you are going, you must learn handwork, because they understand the importance of acquiring skills. Am I communicating? The possession and utilization of highly valuable solution providing skills is the gateway to your financial freedom. So you use your skill to solve problems, and then they reward you with money. You exchange that value for money. You create value. Your skills are fast. Praise God. I say your skills are more important and far superior to your educational degrees and certificates in the school of wealth. Nothing sells like excellent skills in the marketplace of life. Praise God. This is very important. I told you, the educational system of this world is programming so many graduates for what? Poverty. Because it's a capitalist system. You know a capitalist system? You know, it's like feeding poultry birds. Is it because you love them? Anytime you come with food, you see them, they are excited. Hey, my owner like me. Hey, they are jumping like this. But they don't know that they are being fed fat for the day of slaughter. That's what the wicked economic system and educational system of this world, this is how it programs people graduate for financial slavery. It's a capitalist system. You have to break out of it. It's like feeding those fishes in a fish pond only for them to be sold later. Just like you end the destiny of so many chicken on Christmas Day, or anytime there is what? Festivity. So that is how the capitalist system is. It feeds you not because they love you, but because they want to use you. Then they will use you and dump you. You take care of a cow, you feed the cow fat, then you now milk the cow, you are now selling the milk. So you are being fed to be used. And when you get tired, you slaughter and use for nama. You know nama? It's a Greek word for meat. I'm only joking, no? It's the Hausa word. It's the Hausa word for meat, beef. So it's a capitalist system. Shine your eyes, oh, break out of that thing. See, the main purpose of education is to help you build initiative. You are going to school primarily is to stimulate creativity and innovative thinking, so that you start thinking outside the box. Am I communicating? Finish and get job. You think outside the box. You become creative, innovative, and through that creativity and innovation, you create wealth. Sam Adeyemi wrote a book. He said, "Ideas rule the world." Real money is actually intangible resources in form of ideas, money-making ideas. Am I communicating? Most of the richest men today, you see them, they are in the tech industry, tech giants. Men like Mark Zuckerberg, look at the owners of Amazon, Google, Apple company, which is the most valuable company in the world. You understand? You see the creativity there. Apple and Google and all of that, they are leading technological companies is through creativity and innovation. Oh, I'm telling you, creativity and innovation. Show me the physical product that Mark Zuckerberg is selling, like all the tomatoes I live for. Show me the physical product. It's not physical. Is Facebook physical? That blue application, is it a physical product? Can you touch it? Yet the guy is a multi-billionaire. You see that? Somebody said wealth is primarily the capacity of a man to think. That's why Napoleon Hill wrote a book, Think and Grow Rich. He didn't even say work. There's a place for work, but you have to think first. You do mental work first before manual work. If you just do manual work without thinking, you'll be a poor man. Have you learned something today? Next week we'll go deeper. We'll look at the laws of money, how to make money, wealth creation, how you create value, how to multiply money, how to manage money. We'll launch deeper next week. Am I communicating? Because this ministry will raise multi-millionaires and billionaires. And not just in naira, in euros, in pounds, in sterling. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. In 1-2 minutes, talk to the Lord. Say, Father, thank you for your word that came my way. I receive grace to put everything I have learned into practice. I receive financial wisdom. Can you talk to God in 1-2 minutes? Talk to God in 1-2 minutes. Shele kubagida kavadia, rando sovragadia, manta brakata. Please minimize movement. Minimize movement. Just talk to the Lord. We are praying. We'll soon be out of here. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Now, all eyes closed, all heads bow. If you are here, I say all eyes closed, all heads bow. If you are here and you want to make your ways right with God, you know, this is not just finance, it's called kingdom finance. And Jesus is the head of that kingdom. And you know, you want to make your ways right with Him. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. You want to surrender your life to Him as your Lord and Savior. You want to accept Him. Or perhaps you did before, but you backslid and went back to the world. And you are tired of sinful life. You want to return like the prodigal son to your father. Because he said, anyone that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Is the arms of the father is wide open, and he wants you to come to him. I want you to lift up your hands wherever you are. Lift up your hands. God bless you. God bless you, my sister. I can see that hands. No, don't be ashamed. Lift it up. Lift it up. Lift it up. Don't be ashamed. Lift it up. Very well. Very well. Very well. Very well. If you are lifting up your hand, I want you to come forward. Yes, I can see you. Don't be shy. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. I'm waiting for you in front. Come to Jesus. Yes, come and accept Him as your Lord and your Savior. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Don't be shy. Don't be ashamed of Him. My sister, come to Jesus. I think I saw this hand up. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Any voice telling you not to come is a devil. Silence that voice. Come to Jesus. Come and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Come and rededicate your life to Him in case you went astray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Now, those of you in front, this is the best decision you can ever make. It will affect positively every area of your life, including your finance. Am I communicating? I want you to say this prayer after me. Believe it wholeheartedly. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe you died for my sin. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making me a new creature. In Jesus' name. Wow. Wow. Can you celebrate Jesus for this once? Now, let me pray for you. What a harvest. Father, thank you for this one. You say anyone that comes to you, you will know why it's cast out. I decree the yoke of sin and Satan is broken off their life. Father, thank you because they are released to serve you in righteousness, in holiness. And the grace to fulfill their divine calling, purpose, and destiny is released upon them. In Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Satlong-King or to partner with us, please visit www.hmionline.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 006-530-2610 or 0703-699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.